Good morning.
Good morning.
On this fourth Sunday in Lent, we would like to welcome all of you who have gathered here for worship. We pray for the Lord's blessing upon this time that we spend in his house, as we gather around his word, as we gather at his table, and also as we fellowship with one another. We pray that he would continue to lead us through this holy season, to keep our eyes always fixed on the cross of Christ, our Lord and Savior. As far as announcements, today is the last day for the Adopt a Bag food drive. A reminder that being the season of Lent, on Wednesday evenings, there is the opportunity for midweek Lenten worship. So that's Wednesday at 7 o'clock. You have till the end of this month as far as directing your Thrive and Choice dollars. And if you don't know how to do that, according to your bullet, contact either Jeff Federke or Kathy Ashmeyer, and they would be glad to tell you what can be done. A reminder also of the CPH Resource Program, and that being all of the announcements, We will begin our worship with the singing of hymn 451, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. See the cross I met rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proves thy faith, sufficient of it, see the true and faithful word. Tell me,
rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 142. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord.
With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord.
I pour out my complaint before him.
I tell my trouble before him.
When my spirit faints within me,
you know my way.
In the path where I walk,
they have tripped up for me.
Look to the right and see.
There is none who takes notice of me.
No refuge remains to me.
No one cares for my soul.
I cry to you, O Lord.
I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Attend to my cry,
for I am brought very low.
Deliver me from my persecutors,
for they are too strong for me.
Bring me out of prison,
that I may give thanks to your name.
The righteous will surround me,
for you will deal bountifully with me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time, I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
I don't see any children, so we will continue our worship with the singing of hymn 744, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found.
grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes in today's gospel story, and I'd like to share from verses 24 and 25. It says, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." And he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Our scripture for today is about a man who was healed from blindness. But it's much more than that. It's about people who are not physically blind, but those who are morally and spiritually blind as well. I think a key to understanding the healing of the man born blind would be to examine one of America's most popular hymns. That hymn is "Amazing Grace." And though it might seem as American as cheeseburgers and potato chips and the NCAA basketball tournament, the fact is that it's actually a British hymn. It was written by an English cleric named John Newton, who had experienced a dramatic conversion in his life. Because you see, in his early adult years, he was a slave trader involved in the selling of people. And it's an insight into sin to note that while he was involved in slave trading, he saw nothing wrong with the practice. But when Jesus came into his life, John Newton was convicted of his own sinfulness, and he turned his life around. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That's John Newton's life story. You see, as Newton read the 9th chapter of John's Gospel, he saw himself reflected in the experience of the man whose eyes were opened. Think about it. When that formerly blind man was asked the source of his healing, he responded with the words that Newton used in his hymn, "I once was blind, but now I see." And though John Newton was not physically blind, he was morally and spiritually blind. And that's the key to understanding the story. For Jesus teaches us that there are many ways that we can be blind. I mean, the first persons blind in the story are actually the disciples of Jesus. Because as they walk with Jesus through Jerusalem, they come upon a blind man, and then they proceed to talk about him as if he wasn't even there. They reflect a very insensitive mindset to those with limitations and disabilities. I mean, you and I, we have seen an amazing change take place in our society in recent years with regards to the rights of people with handicapping conditions. But the very fact is, I mean, think about it. And we need to thank God for those changes. The physically, the mentally challenged, they're being brought into the mainstream of society. March is Disabilities Awareness Month. And much of what you and I now take for granted, I mean, things like ramps and lightweight braces and leaps in medical science and broader special education and closed captioning and assistance for the hearing impaired and designated parking spaces, all of those things really are recent developments, and they acknowledge the place of persons in our society who at one time were relegated to the fringe of society. I mean, the disciples, they speak about that blind man as if he wasn't there. And then they even have the audacity to speculate on the cause of his blindness. They wonder, is he blind because of something he did, or blind because of something that his parents did? And in biblical times, conventional wisdom held that if you had something wrong with you, it was the result of sin. And so that man, blind from birth, presented a perplexing problem for the disciples. I mean, how could he have sinned before he was born? Or had his parents done something so awful that the result would be a child born blind? I mean, at a conscience level, we no longer buy into the worldview, you know, that says that every problem or disability is the result of sin. But yet, how often when we're caught in a perplexing problem for which there's no apparent cause, then how often have we even speculated in our own lives and say things like, well, what could I have done to deserve such a fate? Now, we acknowledge that many of our problems, if not most of our problems, do have a cause. As it's often said, you can't go against the grain of the world and not expect to pick up a few splinters. However, I'm going to tell you, there are situations, like the situation of the man blind from birth, for which there are no apparent answers. And I take note, and I take comfort in noting that Jesus refuses to enter into the debate as to the cause of the man's blindness. Because speculation about the cause is fruitless, especially when there is an opportunity to make the situation better. I mean, Jesus understands the man's blindness as an opportunity for healing and for teaching. And Jesus introduces the theme of light coming into the darkness in the story. I mean, the story now has a brand new dimension, because the man who was blind from birth, I mean, he has lived in total darkness. And Jesus uses his coming to sight, uses him as an opportunity for him coming to light, as a metaphor to exactly what Jesus is doing in the world. We can all go back all the way to the very first chapter of Genesis. You know, God's initial creative venture. Do you remember what he said? Let there be light. And there was light. And how intriguing it is that God created the light even before God created the sun. When God said, let there be light, God wasn't speaking about sunlight. God was saying that my light, my goodness is now in the world. That darkness and that void has been invaded. And in this miraculous healing story, Jesus is now ready to show that he is the light of the world. And so Jesus mixes saliva and dirt to form a mud which he places on the man's eyes. And when that mud is removed, the man can see. You know, Jesus tells him to go to the pool of Siloam. That's just inside the city walls of Jerusalem. And notice that the word Siloam actually means sent. And this further emphasizes that Jesus is the light of God sent into the world. And I find it intriguing that even today, certain kinds of mud are thought to have curative powers. Visitors to the Dead Sea discover that the water is so salty and it is so filled with minerals that you float on the surface as if you were in a lounge chair. And tourists are told that covering their bodies with the Dead Sea mud, that would take years off of their lives. Meaning, who could resist such a prospect as that? And so many people wade into the water, they cover themselves with mud, and they wait to see those years melt away. But the fact is, Jesus gave the blind man his sight. And there should have been joy. But the Pharisees, they throw a wet blanket over everything. The healing had taken place on the Sabbath, the day of rest. And some of those Pharisees were bent out of shape because Jesus had worked on the Sabbath by making mud. I kid you not. And so they decide that further investigation is warranted. And so they visit the parents of that formerly blind man to find out if he really had been blind from birth. Well, the parents refuse to give an answer for fear that if they answer that Jesus healed him, that they're going to be cut out of community life. I mean, the Pharisees had that kind of power. And so instead, the parents advised the Pharisees to speak to the young man himself. And the Pharisees do confront that formerly blind man. And they ride him hard. And they tell him that he must be a sinner. They tell him that his sin caused him to be born blind. But I'm going to tell you that the young man has gumption, because he answers with those words that became the basis for Amazing Grace. He says, you know, he doesn't know if he's a sinner or not. He just knows that he once was blind, but now he can see. He doesn't know much, but he knows that only a man sent from God could open the eyes of a man born blind. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't the answer that the Pharisees had been looking for. And so they drive the man out of the community. And now comes the moment when the entire story comes together. That formerly blind man had been driven out of town because he told the truth about his healing. And how sad it is that on the day which should have been the happiest in his life, that he gets kicked out of town. He once was isolated by his blindness. Now, he's just isolated, period. And it's at that low moment that Jesus comes to him. That Jesus comes to him when he's all alone and he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "And who is he, sir?" answers the formerly vision-impaired man. "Tell me, so I may believe in him." "You have seen him," said Jesus, "and the one speaking with you is he." And with those words of love, the young man worships Jesus and tells him that he does believe. You see, that young man is now whole in body and in spirit. And Jesus adds that he's come into the world so that those who are blind might see, and that those who have sight might become blind. What he's getting at is that when we, you and I, when we think that we have all of the answers, when we think that we know what's right for ourselves as well as for others, it's then that we truly are blind. Because sight has to do with the mind and the heart. as well as the eyes. Don't you imagine that this man had, that Jesus healed, that he had a real excitement about life? Don't you imagine that he saw things differently because of his blindness? And that's also what happens when the scales fall off of our eyes, when we swap our eyes for the eyes of Christ, that we get excited. I'm always amused and amazed when I meet a new convert to Christ, because they are invariably far more enthusiastic about their faith than those of us who have been believers most of our lives. Why? Because I think they are seeing the world in a new way. How about you? Would you like Christ to help you see the world through new eyes? Invite him into your heart afresh. Then you also can sing, "I once was blind, but now I see." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Gracious God, you give so many blessings to us. To the man in our gospel story, you gave the blessing, the gift of sight. But Lord, we thank you that you have also given us the gift of faith, called us to be your own. And Lord, as we bring our offerings this day, we pray that they might be useful for the work of your church, that your word might be proclaimed, and through that word, your Spirit would work so that other people might see, that others might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Great physician, enlighten our eyes by your blessed gospel, and hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. Provide a home in your church for those cast out by this world, and unite them with us in the pure confession of your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, you have gathered your church and sanctified us in your truth. Guide and direct Matthew Harrison, our Synod President, Kevin Wilson, our District President, and Logan Shiwe, our Circuit Visitor. Preserve all vacant congregations. Send laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, uphold in mercy all authorities, especially parents and the civil servants of your nation. Strengthen our homes and keep families firm in the Christian faith. Preserve us from wickedness and uphold order and justice for a peaceful life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you have promised that when that what we suffer does not condemn us, but instead displays your glory. Sustain the afflicted in body or soul. Especially, Lord, we raise up in our prayers Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Deb, Francis and Todd, Bill and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Norma, Ron and Vicky, Kyle and Marilyn, Renee and Michelle, Diana and Carolyn, Jordan and Tyler. And gracious Lord, we also raise up in our prayers the family of Judy Federke. In your mercy, O Lord, you have seen fit to call her home to be with you. Sustain those whom she leaves behind with that sure hope and promise of resurrection and life eternal through Christ Jesus our Lord. So gracious Lord, be with all those who are in need of your healing power and your grace, that they would take heart, trust you for healing, and find you even in the midst of their trials. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed, O Lord, is everyone who is not offended by your Christ. Give us faith to believe his blessed testament. Seek his holy supper for the forgiveness of sins, and confess your truth with honest hearts in the communion of this altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, those who wait for your salvation have the promise that you will not forsake them. Lead those who wander in darkness through rough places, that they would find the way of righteousness and not be put to shame. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, be with a world that is torn by conflict. We pray for your protection, Lord, especially on all those serving in the armed forces of our nation, both at home and around the world. Lord, help them to know your gracious and loving presence. And now, O Lord, all these things, O Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, asking you to grant our prayers, not for our sake, but for his sake alone. Teach our hearts to be content with your will and to trust that you will answer with what is best for us and at the right time for our need. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord, our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light and the Gentiles.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let his mercy endure forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Seated. We'll join now in the singing of our closing hymn, 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.